Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Show you exactly that particular situation at that particular point,
But you know there have been times in your life
mm-hmm.
where you didn't understand it, didn't get what you got through, but knew that the Lord told you to go a certain way. And when you went through that certain way, when you went through that challenge, you look back.
You say,
okay. Oh, now I see God has it under control.
Exactly.
And it's not like now all of a sudden he doesn't have it under control.
So
you've
true.
Seen how God has worked in your life and how he's brought you through, or how he's taken a situation that looked impossible and made it more than possible.
Yes.
That doesn't mean he's going to stop doing it now.
No.
But if anything else, you should be stronger and be willing to take, as I said last week, a bigger leap of faith.
Right. Yeah. Like we should have the Atlantic Ocean.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the whole thing is just like people on the Carolina, people were beginning to understand that just like that verse says, according to your faith be it unto you,
mm-hmm.
God wants us to come to him with everything.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Not the things that we think we can handle, but everything. And if we ever get to that point, you know, life would be so much better.
Amen.
You know, then that all that stuff about name it and claim it, you wouldn't have to name it and claim it. God already knows what you need. And he'll provide that for you and give it to you even before you even think about it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And then you'd know what to ask for.
Yeah.
You'd know that God is like, I'm ready to bless you. So you wouldn't feel selfish or uncomfortable about saying, Lord, bless me. Bless me any way that you want to bless me. I'm going to lean and I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust you. And he will do it. And
you
just believe it.
Yes, he will. But we have to understand that God honors us.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, without faith, it is impossible to please.
That's right.
Many times, faith is where Hebrews 11:1 is mm-hmm. faith is substance of things
hoped for.
Evidence of things seen.
Not seen.
So basically, we're behaving like we have it mm-hmm. before we see it.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to say that one more time.
Say it.
We're behaving like we have it before we see it.
That's
the base substance of things hoped for. In other
mm-hmm.
words, it's made up of acting like you already have it
mm-hmm.
before you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just the way God operates.
That is exactly mm-hmm. how he operates.
That's just the way he operates.
Yeah.
And we as believers, we understand that our salvation is based upon a belief.
Right.
He says that in Romans 10, it says that you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved.
Amen.
That's right.
So it's a thing of believing, and that's what happened with these blind folks after 9:27-21. They believe God. God gave them sight.
That's right. Because they believe.
Because they believe.
Mm-hmm.
But they would never would have got this sight
if they didn't ask for it.
Now that's serious right there.
They yeah. did not ask for it, would not have.
And believe.
And believe. Yeah, they would not, because they wouldn't have asked for it because they didn't believe.
Right.
But because
right.
they believe, they asked for it.
Right. And they got this sight.
Right.
And how many times if we walk by faith and God has provided?
Woo. Gonna make me run.
Amen. Yeah. How many times have we walked by faith?
Oh, my
God,
goodness.
I can't see it right now.
Can't see it, but I
believe. I'm still gonna trust.
I'm trusting and believing. I'm trusting and believing.
Amen.
And even when that flesh in you kind of rises up,
yeah.
it's like, are you sure? And you have to argue with yourself.
Yeah.
And you say, yes, I'm sure. Well, it doesn't make sense, but I'm still sure. But it's not logical, but I'm still
yeah.
sure.
I'm not feeling it.
I'm not feeling
but I'm
it,
still
but
walk
I'm still
by
right.
Faith.
I still believe it.
Yeah.
I still believe it.
Yeah.
I don't have to see it to believe it, and no, I'll acknowledge it makes no sense. It's not logical, but I still
yeah.
sure. I'm still sure. I'm still trusting. I'm still believing.
And Dr. G, I go back to Job where he said, "Though you slay me,
hello.
Yet will I trust.
Yet will I trust
in you."
Come on, now.
And really, I mean, that says it right there. You know, we don't understand everything how God works.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna know everything. And he's not going to reveal everything because, see, we're still working, trying to develop that relationship with him.
It depends
and
on him.
Until we get to that point where we have a one-on-one, I told him on Wednesday night prayer line, we need a personal relationship with him. And until we get to that point
mm-hmm.
where that relationship has developed, you know, we talk a good game when it comes to faith. I mean, excuse me, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, and if more so-called believers, you know, would stop talking, where we love the Lord, this, that, and the other. Well, okay, that's all well and good. But see, God is a God of show me.
Amen.
You know, he wants you to show him. And it's not so much that he doesn't know. He knows where your heart
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But he wants you to prove it to yourself.
On your behalf.
Right, right.
You're the ones that need to know it.
Right. And that's when he worked with Abraham. He had been through so much.
Mm.
He got to the point where when God told him to go up on Mount Carmel, was it Mount Carmel?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Mount Carmel or whatever mountain.
Whatever mountain.
But he told him to go up there and slay your only son that you had been waiting all these years for.
Yeah.
He said, I got you. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Because his faith had gone to the point from
the
kiddie pool to
the
Atlantic.
Atlantic Ocean.
To know that if he kill him, God has the ability to raise him back up.
Right.
That's the kind of
God we serve. And God, if God were to show us, if we were to see our blessings, know what it was, and say, "Oh, my blessings is sitting right there. Let me go pick it up. I know exactly what to do and exactly where to," we would think it was us.
Yep.
Our egos are so big, we would not believe that the Lord did that. We would believe that, look what I made happen.
I'm so good.
I'm so good. But when you see his supernatural, you're like, okay, I know that could not be me.
Yeah.
I know that this blessing that I received was not me. I can't take credit for it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to take credit for it. To God be the glory. I trust you, Lord. I believe you. But if we had it handed to us just right there, right, and there is no way we would give credit to God. We would not give God credit.
And that's the thing. Once you get to that point where you like Abraham, you're like, well, I've been through this. I've been through the line. I've been through Hagar. I've been through all these other things. Now God said, let's go do it. Let's go do it. And God showed himself even higher as Jehovah Jireh, his provider.
Hello.
So he looked over and saw a ram caught in the thicket. And he said, God will provide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where God wants the Christian to get to. Visions that God in to show himself over Jireh. I was telling someone the other day, I call this plant church, that we went and went to Central High School with no members and no money.
God, and look at you now. And you can't say that you did that. God did that.
And God sent a check in the mail.
Mm.
And members.
Mm.
And 12 years later,
God
is still blessed.
Mm. Mm.
But if I would have said, well, I can't see it,
it never would have happened.
It never would have happened. And so that's where I am with faith. Everybody might not be there, but that's where I am.
Yeah.
That I can see God can take something, take nothing and make something nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what he proved to be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking, just like when Moses sent the spies out and Joshua and Caleb
more than they
check out the land, and, you know, because they had that faith, we can take them.
Yeah,
but them eight of a fellas came back. Oh no, they're like giants. And that's where a lot of folk in the church are. You know, we're like the eight. You know,
ten.
You know,
ten came back.
Out of all of them came back and said we can do it. And again, that's the faith that they had, that because God is on our side.
Yeah.
Right.
And we as believers, you know, I know we're developing, but God knows how long is it going to take
us. Get off the
board. I mean, you know, with some folk, you know, we're going to be sitting there and we want to see, and man, death is going to come knocking on our door, and then what?
You left all those blessings behind because you didn't ask because you were scared.
Well, that's what happened to the children of Israel when the two came back with a good report.
Right.
And the ten came back, and then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And so their children got to see the blessing.
Right.
They did not.
But Caleb and Joshua, they was able to go into the promised land. It was something where God was looking for their faith.
Amen.
It didn't materialize.
No, it didn't.
after he had brought us through all that stuff.
All that other stuff. And really, when you think about it, I mean, now they had just come out. It just come out of Egypt.
Egypt.
And when they got through the Red Sea.
That's what I mean. You have a
then they want to complain.
Yeah.
You know, you brought us here to die. We should have just stayed in Egypt.
Yeah. We were slaves back
we
then.
We were slaves back then.
I preached on that Sunday. Don't shake the rock.
Praise you.
But let's move on down to chapter 9, verse 32, and where we talk about God's power over dumbness. And as they went out, this is chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. In other words, the fellow couldn't talk.
Couldn't speak.
And it had a spirit that he could not talk. And in verse 33, it says, and when the devil was dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never what?
Seen
in Israel.
It was a miracle.
Right. And so when you have that testimony of what you know about God, you're not, and that's what I liked about Luke's gospel. Luke had gospel of eyewitness. And there's so many people in the church that have been eyewitnesses and have seen what God has done.
Still don't have
we can
faith.
Talk for hours.
Oh,
and
Lord,
years,
have
you
mercy.
I,
we can
just talking about what we have seen
what
God
we have
do
seen
in
God
each other's
do.
Life.
Oh, my goodness. We've been here for 5 years.
You know what I'm saying?
And still doing. In the last couple of months, I have seen God take nothing and turn it into amazing.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have the faith to believe it,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't be where we are right now with such a huge victory.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody wants to be the Monday morning quarterback. Everybody wants to walk, wait until the scenario is over and say, oh, yeah, we should have done this.
Yes,
we could have done that.
Right, we should have ran that play. And, mm-hmm.
But you can't do that. If you were right there, it's on the 10-yard line. You got to either score the touchdown or not.
It's up to what you want to do.
You gotta go and just trust in God.
But this is what I want to say, Dr. G, is God doesn't hide His blessings. Mm-hmm. They're out in the open.
Right.
People have seen what. If I go around to every church in the world and say, what have you seen God do?
Mm-hmm.
It takes forever.
Yeah.
And that'd be a question. What have you seen God do?
Right.
I mean, you know it was God.
It wasn't
man. Yeah. It wasn't you.
It wasn't what somebody told you to do.
What you have seen
God do.
In
people
get so excited.
Yeah.
And so God cast out this demon, the man that had, I don't know how long he couldn't speak.
Didn't speak.
Man start talking.
And they were marveled.
And people
like, wow,
marveled.
What a miracle. And then here comes the wet blanket.
Oh, my
Here comes
goodness.
The wet blanket. Let's go to the wet blanket.
But I gotta stay with what we've seen for a second. We have seen God walk outright. We've seen God turn our lives around.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen God make changes in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen when we used to cuss somebody out and fight at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Now we pray for them.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we all know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Fight it and drop
right
it in half.
Come on.
Some
like,
of you still
down.
Got some Sugar Ray Leonard in
there. Yeah. Every now and then it will come up.
And we've seen when we messed up completely, 100%, totally, head down, can't even look anybody in the face, but God still wraps his arm around you, picks you up, and puts you on the right path, and you can leave that mess behind.
We've seen it. And that's what, like you said, you have to pull from those
past victories
because you've seen what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
If you know God for yourself, you've seen it. You know what He's done. You know where He's brought you from. You know how He's changed your life. You know how He's healed your body.
Right.
You know how He turned that demon that was messing with you and moved him out or kicked him out. Or
say amen. Or moved you away from the demon.
Or moved
Hallelujah.
You away from
mm-hmm. You out of bondage.
And the multitude marvel, right?
Yeah.
They marvel. It's like, wow, look at God.
Okay.
Right? But you're always going to have somebody that's being used by the devil.
Yep.
To try to rain on your parade.
Come on.
Yep.
Come on.
When you going up on cloud nine talking about look at God, and they're like, God ain't did nothing for me. When you say good morning, God is great. This is the day that the Lord has made. It ain't been no good
and
for
it's
me.
Raining. Yeah, he did, but he made
Come
it.
On.
And they saying it all the time. They're breathing God's air.
They do. Can't be thankful.
Okay,
and can't be happy that I'm, instead of feeding off of my joy, you want me to bring me down to your being cranky.
See, that's why I could never be God, because as soon as they got complaining,
hello,
I said,
like,
I'm going to take
hello.
Your ass.
Hello.
So I'm not going to breathe
Amen.
And tell you thanks.
Amen. I've been said I would have drank them all down. Amen.
And I'd be like, excuse me?
I bet you appreciate it now.
No, you can't breathe. Oh, okay. Let me give you some more ass.
Amen. I mean, don't get me started on it. I would have been done zapping.
Just everybody. God has patience. He does.
Amen. Throw some thunderbolts down.
But I used to tell them about Bible study and that if I could beat the word into them, I would stand at the back of the church, and when they come in, I take my wand and bam! Everybody came in the door. Bam! If you can get the word into it. So everybody, you just had to show up and get hit by the wand.
And then you'd have God's word in.
Then you'd have God's word in. I said, that worked that way. No. You had to study to show yourself a
because he gives us free will and he gives us choice because he doesn't want us to do it because we have to make them.
Yeah.
Now, he will let you get a little beaten now and then, but it's still up to you to learn from that. Just like when you spank your kids or discipline your child. Okay, now, you're smart. If you're smart, you won't do that anymore.
Right, we won't have to go there.
But, you know, we all
but that's what I used to tell
do
them.
It again.
I would sit at the back of that door at Central High School with that wand. As soon as you walk in the door, I'm like, bam! In the name of Jesus.
You feel
bam,
the word.
You got the word now. Bam. Right. Dr. G, you can't do that.
It don't work like that.
No.
Whosoever will, let him go.
So the people are marveling. The man that didn't speak, he talking. I wonder what he was saying.
Miraculous.
He was like, I can talk. He probably talking so much, people say, I wish he
shut up.
Shut
up.
But he probably took his pad or whatever he was writing with and threw it. And, but then here comes the folk that want to rain on his parade.
Yeah.
Chapter 9, verse 34. But what?
Pharisees. Church folk.
The folk that are supposed to know God.
Church folk.
Said, cast out devils through the prince of the devil.
Call him the devil.
So in other words, Satan is committing suicide against himself. Let's go to Mark, the third chapter, and get a little more.
Read that scripture again with the Pharisees.
But the Pharisees said, cast out devils through prince of the devil. Let's go to Mark 3, and Jesus explains why this is not something that is feasible. I think it's Mark 3. In Mark 3, beginning at verse 22. It says, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils cast he out devils. And he called them unto him. So Jesus said, look, come in. He didn't call them stupid or dummy. That's something that Dr. G was like, come in, dummy.
Come in, stupid.
And he called him. He's probably nice about it. Look here, come in, man. Let me break you off a little something. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? Can you imagine Jesus' face when he looked like he's like?
So you're saying the devil committed suicide?
Yeah. How can Satan cast out Satan? And can you imagine how that dumb look on their face? They're like, he said, hold on, let me explain to you a little bit further. In verse 24, and if the kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom what?
Cannot stand.
Right? Then he goes on to say, and if the house be divided against itself, that house can what?
Cannot stand.
And if Satan rise up against himself, and be divided, he can't what? Stand. But hath in what? An end.
Mm-hmm.
So he breaks it down to him and says, what you're saying, because you want to deny my power,
hey,
my authority.
That's some hate.
You just talking stupid out your head.
But that is serious hate. When you see this man was dumb, he was filled with the devils, Jesus, the people marveled at the miracle, and instead of giving God the glory, you're still going to give it to Satan, say that Satan cast
yeah.
it out, Satan, even at the risk of sounding stupid.
Right.
That is some serious jealousy, hate, self-centeredness, egotistical
stuff. Well, Jesus is getting ready, the rest of this little section, he's getting ready to tell them how much danger they were in for doing that. So let's continue on in that Mark, the third chapter, in verse 27. He says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first find the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And Jesus, after he makes that point of, you know, no one's going to destroy themselves. So he makes this point, and so in verse 28, he tells them the seriousness of it. He says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blaspheme wheresoever they shall blaspheme. In other words, you guys are treading on some stuff
right.
where you're not
mm-hmm.
going to be forgiven.
Right.
And what he says in verse 29, but he that mm-hmm. shall blaspheme against the what?
The Holy Ghost.
Because the Holy Ghost is what produced this miracle in this man's life. He said, but the Holy Ghost let me go back to the verse, but he that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiveness, but is in danger of what?
Eternal damnation. So be careful for trying to call me the devil.
In verse 30, he says, why? Because they said he had a what?
Unclean spirit.
So they told Jesus that he had the unclean spirit.
Yep.
And that he cast out the demons in the unclean spirit.
Right.
So he was denying that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were God
mm-hmm.
and were calling Jesus or the Godhead Holy Spirit. They were actually calling him Satan.
The devil. That's what it mm-hmm. says. When I read it, I was like, woo. that's scary.
Eternal damnation.
And to be, and it's really, especially since they were Pharisees.
And they were so cavalier.
They were so cavalier, and they supposedly knew the scripture. They knew about God. They knew. They had the scrolls, but their hearts were so hard. So hard that you were willing, with that much hate, to take that kind of risk. That is serious hate. That's blinding hate.
Because they're saying that Jesus has an unclean spirit.
You're stupid. I mean, what can you say? And really, if you think about it, I don't mean to be hard on folks, but it's just dumb. And I mean, and we have it nowadays with
yeah.
some of the stuff that comes out of people's mouths. And you know, I thank God that I've grown, I've gotten better. But again, go back, because if I was Lord,
mm-hmm.
chomp. Take them on out of here, zap them.
Yeah.
Because some things that people say really does not make sense. Mm. And here we're talking about faith, a
yeah.
faith walk. And yet these fools going to come and talk like this.
And
these are the you know, the Pharisees. They know better.
And it's right in front of your face.
Right.
And then you're going to call the one that's providing the miracles.
Say Satan.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
And it wasn't like it was the first miracle. All those miracles that had been leading up to this. So by saying that, are you saying that all the other miracles that were performed were of Satan as well?
Unclean. Can you
mm-hmm.
imagine calling Jesus
mm-hmm.
the devil?
I don't even know.
Calling the Holy Spirit the devil.
But see, they weren't concerned about Jesus, the God.
They were concerned about themselves.
They were concerned about themselves and their position.
That is some bad news, man. You supposed to be church folks?
Mm-hmm.
That is some bad news.
Yeah.
I mean, this is in the Bible. This should shake up a whole lot of folks. When in verse 29, Mark 3, verse 29, But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiven, yeah, but is in danger of what? Eternal damnation.
And that was Jesus' polite way of cussing them out.
You going to hell. Pretty basic.
He pretty much did say that. That's what he told them. He's like, you need to be careful, or else you will go straight to hell.
Oh, my God. That right there is.
And like, he was being polite by giving them a warning, because quite frankly, he could have zapped them right then.
And he called them, come here, let me talk to you. Let me talk to you in a parable. Let me explain this to you so you can get an understanding. But y'all in danger of going eternal damnation.
Right, right. Because if he were like totally in the flesh, there would have been a fight that broke out.
Well, as soon as they would have said it, it would have been all over.
It would have been all over. He is God. He
was
patient.
His grace.
His grace. He was patient. He was graceful. And he's like, okay, that's enough now. You know, okay, you've been acting up. You've been acting up. You've been acting up. It's not just, it's not time for me to go yet.
Yeah.
So you step on the line a little bit. So
yeah.
Just step on back, or it's going to be worse for you.
That's some serious stuff. I look at the things that a lot of time religious leaders say and do, and how they borderline trying to make themselves God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cross that thing where you're telling God and calling God.
Amen.
And that's the danger of people of God, is that we, through our lives, Satan wants to make God a liar.
That's right.
By the lives,
right,
that we live.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To put a different
not
perspective
saying it,
on
but
that.
You're living like that.
But when we claim to be children of God and then live like the devil, mm-hmm. in so many words, we're saying the God that we're serving is just like the devil.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because our lives don't line up with a godly life.
Right.
It lines up with a satanic life.
Right. Mm.
And we need to be careful about that. And that's why it's important that we do self-examination.
Mm.
And we need to get into this word for ourselves. Because all of our spiritual leaders are not of God.
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of false teachers and false
mm-hmm.
prophets out there,
yep,
that unless you know for yourself, you can easily be waiting
mm-hmm.
to go the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. And even when you see like the cults and the terrorists that say that they kill and murder innocent people
in
the name of God,
mm-hmm.
that's just as bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have to know this about the adversary, and we have to know how far we should go and what boundaries and what kind of example that we should resetting, because we can get caught up in ourselves and saying and doing things that put us in danger of being at odds with Christ. And nobody wants to be at odds with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 9, and we want to look at verse 35. And here Jesus is demonstrating power over disease. Power over disease in verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching what? Gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this saying is that Jesus came to save those that were sick. And there are sick people in that world, and there's still sick people in this world, Dr. G. But through preaching the word, teaching, this is what it is, right? And Jesus went about all cities and villages, what? Teaching in the synagogues and what? And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But too many times, folks don't want to hear preaching.
Or teaching.
Folks don't want to hear teaching, and they don't want to be in the presence of the person through the Holy Spirit that can heal them.
Amen.
They'll go to the hospital for before they go to Jesus. Mm. And I'm not talking about in the person of an actual person, even though people can have the gift of healing, but they can only heal through the power of
Holy
Ghost.
Right.
And so when I'm talking about the person that's healing, the person that's healing that actually does the healing is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So everything that those villages needed, they were able to do that healing through the teaching, through the preaching of the gospel, and through the healing through the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But those people were in his presence.
Right.
In other words, if he said, I'm going to be over here at the Safeway, and I'm going to be teaching and preaching and healing, you're not going to get healed.
Unless you go to the Safeway.
If you're over the Giant.
Well, it goes back. It goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this lesson about faith. You got to have the faith to believe that if I go to the Safeway and I listen to God's word and I listen to his teaching and I trust him that he's going to help me to get through the sickness. Otherwise, you're going to stay sick.
You made that real plain. Say that again. Say that again.
I said it's a faith walk.
Yeah.
In other words, if I go to the Safeway, trust that God is going to heal me through his preaching and his teaching, then I will be healed and he will take that step with me. But if I don't make that step, to step out on faith and trust and believe, and I just sit over here, it's not going to happen.
Right, you're the giant.
It's not going to happen. He is not. Faith without works is dead. You've got to do something. You've got to move on that faith. You can say you believe, you can say you trust, but until you actually get up, go to Safeway, listen to God's word, listen to the Lord preaching to you, pray, develop that relationship, it's not going to fall in your lap. Your blessing, all these blessings will just pass on by you.
Amen.
Because you did not go to the source for him to give it to you. God, we don't get blessed because God doesn't have the power.
No.
He has the power. He has the super. It's because we don't tap into that power.
Exactly. And so verse 35 is so plain. Jesus knew there was sickness. There was a need. Right? So he says, I'm going to make myself available in all the cities.
It's available.
Right?
But you got to step out and go.
And the villages, right? And I'm going to teach in their synagogues and preach what? The gospel of the kingdom, of the healing of every sickness. And every disease among the people.
Teach and preach.
So
that means more than Sunday.
I can't pick and choose.
Now, the synagogue was a church building back then.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't nobody want to go to the church. They want to go to Dr. Phil. They want to tune into some Oprah. Amen.
Teach and preach. That means studying and hearing the word.
They want to turn into some Steve Harvey. But Jesus went to all the cities and he taught and preached in the synagogue. He healed every sickness and what? Every disease among the people.
Among the people. That means the people that were there.
Right.
Not the people that weren't there.
Right.
Because if they weren't receive the teaching, then they miss the blessing. They're still someplace sick.
And so you have to understand that, like, Jesus is making it plain, and when you have it that plain, then you should know that I already got the victory,
right?
Because I know Jesus, and I know where he's preaching the gospel,
mm-hmm.
I know where he's teaching the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and I know where he is,
right?
There's victory there. But
right.
If you keep going to the giants over there, instead of to the Safeway, the safe place.
I'm going to leave that play on word alone.
Then you'll end up not receiving your blessing. Dr. G.
But I was sitting here thinking that the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 long years, she made her way out through the crowd and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment.
And we have all been there. We have all been weary, torn down, sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And said, if I could just, Jesus, just hold just speak a word, and then he will touch you. And it still may, that circumstance still may be there, but it will give you that peace of mind to work your way.
And with that, too, you know, see, the Lord is sitting, Jesus is sitting there here, the Lord is watching you. You know, we're talking about faith. Well, even though you're not feeling well, you know, how often do we, we'll turn over, I'm not feeling well, yet come Monday morning, we get well real quick and going out to work, sick as a dog, but because we know we got to go to work. Well, see, we don't have that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying bring germs into the church and all that.
Right, but
there comes a point when we become so comfortable with our sicknesses that we don't want to go where Jesus is or go where the preaching is. Look, there have been times when I've been sick as a dog, but I know that I've got to go out to the house of the Lord. I've got to preach. I got to teach. I got to do what I have to do. And by the time I get there, once I walk through the doors, something happens miraculously where I'm feeling better. And then once all that is over with, I may go home, get in the bed, and rest up for Monday. But once I get to where he going to be.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I like what you said is we have to have that desire to want to get where Jesus is, to where the teaching is, to pick up the phone and call prayer line.
Right.
Pick up the phone to call Bible study, to make our way to the house of God. Those are things where God honors our faith.
Right.
Thank you.
And don't take that for granted. That God doesn't see that. It takes a lot to. I know we all have busy schedules and get home and to pick up a phone and to you know get in on a prayer line or to get in on a Bible study or rush your way through rush hour traffic to a building. God
sees that, and he says
these folks want to be where I am to hear my teaching, to hear my preaching, and to receive my healing. I can't make it any plainer than that.
No. And it's true. And he blesses faithfulness. And then he shows it to us time and time and time again. And you see where you're being blessed. And you know that you may be having that little mustard seed of faith, but God is giving you a huge blessing.
Yeah.
Because you are saying that regardless of how I feel, I just know I need to plug into that power source.
Yeah.
And if I plug into that power source, and I can continue to move on until the next time and get as much as in me as I can to help to fight Satan.
Yeah.
Not the thing that the Pharisees were talking about, truly when Satan is truly coming in.
Right. And the thing is, Jesus is showing that he's willing and able.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's demonstrating in verse 35, he said, I go everywhere. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Every city and every village. I go wherever you need me. Somebody getting ready to run. Lord have mercy. Wherever you need me.
I'll be right there.
He said, I'll be there. Amen. Yeah. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Amen.
And that's why you pull into that power source of the prayer service, church service, Bible study, so that when you are out there by yourself and you are struggling, it's just you doing battle with the devil. You pull on what you know, that you read, that you prayed, that you talked about, that God preached to you, and you pull on that little thing, and then that will help you to knock the devil on his butt and keep moving.
Amen.
But if you don't plug into that power source, it's like a dead cell phone, okay?
Amen.
Let me try to dial a number. You can't call anybody. You can't receive calls, nothing.
But I just want to finish up this verse where he says, every sickness and every disease. I mean, that means that everything is covered.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's ailing you. Somebody get ready to scream. There's nothing that's ailing you that God cannot deliver and heal you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The blind man.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? I can see. The dumb man. I can talk. Huh? The lost person. Now you say.
Now I'm found.
Mm-hmm. Everything. And this is the relationship that we should have rooted and grounded in us. When the world tells you God can't do it, you tell them Satan is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is a lie.
That's right.
Because I've seen what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the same God today, yesterday, and forever.
And the reason why people say God can't do it because they want God to do it. They want to put God in the box. They want God to do it the way that they think.
Say that. Say that.
Both you and I were very stupid.
Amen.
But our parents were praying parents. Our family were praying family. And so, okay, but regardless of the fact that you have all these issues, we're going to walk as if we don't.
And trust God. That's right.
So it's like, okay, yeah, I got to take my medicine. Yeah, I got to take this. I got to deal with this. But I am not going to let this rule me.
Amen.
I'm going to go past this. I'm going to look past this. I'm going to do. And God said, okay, yeah, that's that little thorn in the flesh like Paul that you have. But that thorn in the flesh is going to keep you humble.
Yeah.
And my power, my spirit is what's going to make you strong.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So even
yeah.
though I got this, I am
strong.
His grace is sufficient.
Right.
And where I'm weak, I'm strong in the spirit. So this flesh, but we say God can't do it because we think that the most powerful thing is the flesh.
Exactly.
And it's not. It's what's that spirit that can get past that pain.
Amen. Greater is he who is in me
than
he's in the world.
That's right.
And that's why we can do all things what
through Christ.
That gives us strength. Amen. We've been going on here pretty good. We want to get to the phone. Oh, you know, the studio audience first. Then we'll get to the phone lines. But we just want to ask the question of do you believe that God can still heal from every sickness and every disease?
I definitely know that he can based
like
off of past
said,
experience.
I know.
Yeah, but I definitely also think, too, that it's easy for people to say, yes, I know he can do it, but until a doctor actually tells you you actually have an illness or have a sickness, and then that's when your faith is truly tested. Most people can say the right things when they're not going through it, but when you're actually dealing with it and you're face-to-face with it, that's really what the true test of your faith to God really is. But, you know, seeing what he's done for my relatives and family members, seeing what he's done for myself, seeing my mother call out the name of Jesus Christ and lay hands on, you know, me and my brothers as we were coming up and we were sick. I know he definitely can, but I think the main thing is holding on to that and understanding that no matter what the doctors tell you, no matter how you feel, if you truly believe that God can and will heal you,
yeah.
then that's all that truly matters. And you know that God will never let you down.
God has all healing and all miracles and all blessings.
Amen.
You just have to believe and you have to have the faith. It's a car with an ignition, but you have the key. You have to put the key in the ignition. It's the faith that's the missing piece. All the blessings are there. All the healing is there.
Amen.
It's you. And I've been going through it. Everybody knows that I've been going through it. So I know for a fact that, you know, it's amazing to me how before, when I didn't have faith, all the miracles that were happening around me weren't miracles to me,
mm-hmm.
but they were still miracles.
Yeah.
But it's the faith that allows you to see it as a miracle. So when you have that faith, now everything is a miracle to me. From switching the light on and lights come on
mm-hmm.
to being able to drive down the street and getting home safe. To your whole family waking up in the morning. Those are all miracles to me. But that's your faith that allows you to see it that way. Everything on this earth is a miracle.
Amen.
Big, small, important to you, important to me, unimportant to somebody else. It's all a miracle and it is your faith. So I believe that God has all the power to do every single thing, all the blessings that you receive, all the healing.
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
people may sit there and say, oh, I'm sick, but you're alive.
Yeah.
People may say, you know, you say, God is good. And like, well, why? Because, you know, it's like, it's amazing how the same exact thing, I could see it, that it's a miracle, but this person sees it differently. So, yes, God heals, God blesses, God it does all of that, but it's how you see it now and the faith that you have.
As for me, I just thank God that when I was walking around with blood clots in my legs all the way up to my lungs, that none of them went through my heart or even went through my brain. and I was walking around like everything was fine, spitting blood and some more stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was walking around like everything's fine. So I can give a testimony to God,
yeah,
that if you rely on Him, not for what you see, but for what you don't see,
amen,
that's where that faith come in at.
Amen.
And truly, even with my blood clot issues, mm-hmm, from time to time, the Lord is still good.
Amen.
And you know, when I look at 1 Samuel,
yes, sir,
17th chapter, 37th verse, as David as a kid facing Goliath, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine."
That's right.
And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee."
Amen.
You have to act on faith.
Amen.
And that's all I have to say.
And the awesome thing about that story,
uh-huh,
is David killed him with the other person. God put the weapon in the giant's belt for David to kill him.
Amen. Yeah. We're going to go to the phone line, and we're going to call the last 4 digits of your phone number. And the question is, do you believe that God heal every sickness and every disease? We go to the last 4 digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I completely believe that God will heal every sickness and every disease, and I thank God. I had the opportunity this week. I hit my foot on the door last night. And ministering in the nursing home, you know, encouraging the people on Sunday and some of the songs that we were singing. But it was just one statement to a song that the Lord just put in my spirit. If you want, yeah, your body healed, call on Jesus. We were,
yeah,
singing,
call Him up.
Call Him up. Jesus is on the main line. Call Him up.
Call Him up.
And the pain and the hurt that I went with hitting that foot last night and not being able to take medication because of allergies, and just from that and just praying and having the faith. And this morning when I woke up, how God had taken away that some of that soreness and painness and discomfort.
Call Him up.
But, you know, you can teach it, you can preach it all you want. But when the time comes, if you don't exhibit that faith, and if you don't believe that God can do it for you, then you're just merely speaking words. And so,
amen,
we get tested. What we say,
yeah,
what we share with other people, we get tested. And sometimes we go through things and the enemy will tell you, yeah, your God's so good. What about Him now? But you know, God, He tells us that we're going to have trials.
Amen.
We're going to have tribulation. But He told us, be of good cheer, because I have,
yeah,
overcome this world.
Yeah.
And so,
already,
because we are Christians, we are not exempt. We still have to go,
yeah,
through. But it's, yeah, in the praise, and it's in the faith, and holding God on to unto His word, what He tells us, and His promises. That's going to bring us through.
Amen.
We all get tested,
amen,
in life. All our faith get challenged in life. It doesn't matter who we are or what we may be, but God is still true to His word.
Yes, He is.
And, and can I just say one more thing? I don't want to take too much time.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead.
Verse 35, I underlined these words in my Bible because I had read this scripture several times before. The word all.
Mm-hmm.
The very,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
word every, and the word,
mm-hmm,
every. That let me know,
yeah,
that God is an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present God. And when,
yes,
He
it
said
is,
every, He means everything. Man will tell,
yes,
you there is no cure. But my Bible don't,
yeah,
tell me there is no cure. My Bible tells me that he healed every sickness and he healed every disease among the people.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Boy, we can go to last four digits, 9772. 9772, you are on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, my Lord. I was sitting there thinking so much, so back, but so far ahead. Life had brought me so far away that I didn't believe and didn't like what I was doing, but as I learned the way God has sent me and brought me through a mighty long way that I didn't see where life would be the easy as it is now. And every morning I wake up in the mirror and touch the foot on my floor and say, thank you, Father, that you gave me another chance to be on the right track. And Lord, every Thursday, the devil tries me and try to see if I still got the faith in my heart that I have with Jesus. Yes, I do. And thank you, Father, for watching over me every day and night. Bless and give me prayer every day. Amen.
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 God bless.
Thank you for your comment tonight. My feet hooked up. Hello. Amen. Thank you. We're going to go to last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I can truly say that I know can heal everything, every sickness and every death, every sickness and every disease that is on this planet. I am a recipient of God's healing power. He is a healer. And I've experienced this from a little girl up until now, and I'm 75 years old. And he has never failed me yet. Never. Yeah. Never. I mean, the healing power of God, you can't even describe it. That's how powerful he is.
Yes.
I mean, he does it when some people even doubt him. He shows up. He does what he says this word will do. And when you can experience that for yourself, that's the most rewarding thing that anyone could receive. When the doctors have told you what you're sitting there in the church now facing, I know two people that can attest to the healing power of God.
Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
We know it for a fact. We've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it. It's the most beautiful thing that anybody could experience. And everything everybody has said tonight is true. He reveals himself to you in a way that is a miracle. And only he can perform those miracles.
Yes, it is.
Only he can perform those miracles. And when he finishes with it, it's written, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it done in the hospital in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A foot with a hole in it. And when they unwrapped it, after he was prayed with and anointed, the doctors were standing in awe.
Amen.
The thing came out of my mouth was, look what Jesus did.
Yep.
They dropped all the stuff on the floor, and it was like nothing had happened to that foot.
No.
Nothing. That happened. The prayer happened on Sunday. Monday when they unwrapped it, it was healed.
No.
It was healed. So it's something that you see and you know that you know that you know that he is a healer.
Yes.
Amen.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. And nobody and no one will ever make me think anything other than God is the answer.
Amen.
To anything in your life.
Amen.
Anything in your life. Trust him. Believe and have faith. And you can be a recipient of his power too. I thank you all. Love you all. And I know your prayers have been a part of my healing process.
Amen. God bless
you.
God bless you.
Thank you
all
so
right
much. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to 1924. 1924. You are getting ready to be on air. You are on, not yet. 1924 on air. 1924, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I haven't had call on God so far for any sickness in my body, but I know for a fact, I know that he can. I know that he can do anything but fail because my body tells me that. So even though I haven't experienced that, I already know that if that time comes in my life, I know I have a Savior that loves me enough.
Amen.
That wants me to be whole. He wants me to be well and healthy. He wants me to have an abundant life because his word says so. He wants to for me to bear fruit and to bear it, you know, abundantly. And being sick is not an abundant life. So my Bible tells me that he can, and I believe that he can and that he will if I just trust and believe in him like everybody else says, to have faith, and that your faith will be put to test sometimes. But you just have to hold on and believe and keep studying and reading your word and know that God loves you more than anything in this world.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to 9071. 9071, you're on the air. 9071, and then Sheila G. Dr. G, this has been a powerful four verses. we see how God can just speak to us, and just so few verses, and I marvel every night that we have Bible study just through those, talking about his word, how the Holy Spirit begins to minister. And I believe everyone that was in the studio, everyone on the phone line, have been ministered tonight to know that God is able to do all things.
All things.
And when he says all, he means all. There's nothing too hard for God.
That's right.
But
let you close this out, Sheila G.
I did. I always put that but. We have to trust him. He's not going to force it on us.
No.
You have to say, you have to go after him. You have to pursue him. Just like everybody said, we have to develop that relationship with him, because if you don't, your blessings will pass by. He's able to do it.
He's willing and able,
but he's not going to force himself on you. You have to believe it's a faith world. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to just study and expound on your word, Lord. Now, Father, I pray that we will take all aspects of that word and hide it in our hearts, Lord, but also let it be living in our lives so we can help to draw others closer to you, Lord, knowing that we can do nothing without you. We thank you for you truly can do everything. We thank you, Father, for just giving us the strength to put our feet on the floor, as a young man said, and just be able to see and to breathe the air that you provide us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. I pray, Father, that you would help each and every one of us in our faith to grow stronger and stronger and closer to you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for tonight. Hopefully we'll hear and see you all next Thursday night. Good night.